Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That's 603-283-6160
here tonight.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria. And, of course, you can take control. That's the point of the program. You can also join us online where we have our own social media platform, which is called social.freetalklive.com. You head on over there. You can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners, some of the hosts of the show. It is free, and you have a lot more freedom to express yourself there. Over at social.freetalklive.com. I do want to say a big thanks to Dash for coming back on board here on Free Talk Live. Dash is Digital Cash. They were a sponsor of ours many years ago, and it's really great to have them back. They are the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. There are a lot of cryptos out there that they just don't care about being spent. They want you to hold on to them forever and then just hope that they go up in value. And a lot of us understand that in order for something to have value, it has to be traded for things that have value. It has to be useful. It has to be used. And that is what Dash is really good at doing. And with, you know, some of the technicals I won't get into here tonight, but
it has super low fees, though, and that's what I've always loved about Dash and Bitcoin Cash. Have always been the two cryptocurrencies that I used most on a day-to-day basis. And honestly, Dash, the only reason Bitcoin Cash wins is because it was always easier to get Bitcoin Cash because I was paid in various things with Bitcoin Cash. But Dash, I don't know what technological features Dash has that Bitcoin Cash doesn't have, but Dash does exactly
blocks.
It does exactly what it claims to do, and it does it well.
Yep, it makes it easy to spend cryptocurrency, and Dash is actually relatively available. It's in a bunch of crypto, multi-crypto wallets. It's on basically every crypto exchange that's out there. So if you can't get Dash, you're not trying very hard.
Yep.
It's definitely out there. And their decentralized autonomous organization was the world's first. So there's a lot of talk these days about DAOs, decentralized autonomous organizations. There's a lot of them out there nowadays. Dash did it first, and they did it nearly a decade ago. And to this day, their DAO continues to improve and promote Dash. So every month, 10% of the Dash mining rewards goes into a treasury. And then anybody that has one Dash, which is right now around $50 in price, anyone that has one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash masternodes, and those masternodes vet those proposals. They decide which ones move forward and get funded by the Treasury. In fact, that's how we got this sponsorship here tonight. And nowadays, again, DAOs are a dime a dozen, but Dash paved the way by doing it first. And they are, again, available all over the place. You can easily get Dash through most of your multi-crypto wallets out there, like Edge Wallet, for instance, which we like. But Dash has their own wallet as well. You can learn more about it over at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air here on Free Talk Live. You can visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. That is Dash.org. We go to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm not so exciting tonight, but
weird. That's a way to announce your presence. I'm not so exciting tonight, but I'll go ahead anyway.
Well, because I want to talk about that. I eat dandelion roots and leaves. I was told that it's really good for you.
At least Sarah gets right into her topics. That's something she always does. She says yes, and then she gets into her topic.
That's true. That's true.
So tonight is dandelion tea.
So what does it do for you, Sarah? Allegedly.
I'm trying to figure out what it does. It's like the dark green vegetable that you could just dig up in your yard for free. I never have to work for it other than just pull it out. I have to dig out the rocks and pull out the roots.
The fact that not working for it is like the main reason she wants it.
Yeah.
But I have heard that dandelion roots are good. bile-producing, like, it supports the bile production in your body.
And what's that do?
That's why it's good to drink dandelion tea at night, because your bile needs to move and, like, help with your excretory functions, and it, like, starts doing its thing at night, and when you sleep, it does its thing.
Do you make tea out of it, Sarah, or do you just eat them raw?
Well, what I do is I pickle it in salt or pickle juice, whatever I got leftover pickle juice and salt, and I pull it out, and I throw it in my soup or stew, just the whole thing, root, everything, stems, leaves, that's the simple way. And that's what I do. I just eat it all together. I chew on the roots, and it does have a bitter taste. But the thing is, the bitter herbs are bitter. The bitter things are actually healthier for you.
I don't know if that's always true.
It's not that they're healthier for you. It tells you what they're good for, and bile production has to do with the bitter herbs. And
I mean, isn't, like, things that taste bad generally things you shouldn't eat because they might poison you?
It's not that they're bad.
Oh, battery acid is probably pretty bitter, you know?
Bitter
but
is
like, as far as nature is concerned, right? Like, if you encounter berries on a bush and you try to eat one of the berries and it's bitter, you're not supposed to eat the berry. It might actually be poisonous, right?
Dandelion root is not bad for you to eat. It's
not
poisonous.
I'm not saying it is.
My great-grandparents would eat it all the time.
I'm not saying it's bad for you, but generally, as a rule, the reason why you want to stay away, like, if you weren't a human connected to the internet and all sorts of knowledge, and you're just out there trying to keep yourself alive off the land, it's sort of a natural thing to stay away from the bitter things because taste bad may be bad for you.
My friend's
right?
grandpa...
Tastes good? Probably all right.
My friend's grandpa, who only died like 5 years ago, used to eat polk berries. Do you know what polk berries are? I asked you because you're from the South and Ian's not.
Are those the little red berries that supposedly kill you?
Well, they're not red. They're like dark purple. And if you pop them on your hand, they'll literally stain your hand like purple. And you can like draw on the ground with them because they're so purple and inky. Well, they taste disgusting. And my friend's grandpa used to eat them. And he was like, yep, this is just what I've always done. And they're nasty. Like, I tried one just because I heard they were edible.
All right, Sarah, thanks for the call tonight. Let's talk to David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, regarding your commentary earlier. First of all, you let Major Payne just go wherever he wants to, and you never cut him off. You even ask him what he'd like to talk about next. Anything else, Major?
Yeah, he's
before
got.
You go?
He's
true. It's true.
He can be fairly entertaining though at times.
We also like him.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. It's enjoy prison, Aria. That's funny how you.
All right,
always...
Goodbye.
I'm going to try to, David. I tend to live my life in the moment and look on the silver lining of things, and I will enjoy prison as much as it can be enjoyed.
How do you think David would react if somebody told him, like, enjoy never seeing your kids again, David?
Yeah, it's very rude.
He but heard for the next 20 years, and every time he called in, he would say something like about...
Always bring it up.
He would
always
bring it up.
And to be fair, David, I didn't say we dislike you. We do like
Major
Payne. So, I mean, stop getting so butthurt all the time, David. It's not that serious, man. Relax.
You had to get personal, so I'm just tired of it. All right, so we're talking about the news out of the hospitality industry in Great Britain, where according to Morningstar.co.uk and Alliance News, more than 12 hospitality venues have closed each day in the last year in Britain. Amid pressure of soaring energy costs.
When they say
costs.
Britain, this always confused me. Do they mean the Isle of Great Britain, or do they mean the United Kingdom, which includes Ireland
include
and Wales?
All of it, but okay. I don't know.
I don't either, and it gets so confusing because I don't know the difference.
Yeah, I've never paid attention to that history.
Either way, it's a lot of places. 12 per day shutting down due to soaring energy costs. Remember last year we talked about, like, in, I don't know, September, August range, there was... some speculation, and not just speculation, but we even saw our electricity bills go up here in the United States, here in New Hampshire. They went up from 11 cent per kilowatt hour on the supply side to 22 something cents per kilowatt hour. So it doubled the supply prices. In places like Great Britain, they were seeing, in some cases, 5, 6, 10x on their electricity bills.
Yeah, and you can't afford that.
Right, and that's what we said at the time. We're like, this is going to put a lot of these businesses out of business. When you might have been able to go and buy a cup of coffee for, you know, the whatever the British equivalent of a couple dollars is, it's going to be like $8 or $10 or $15 for a cup of coffee before you know it, if these people are even able to stay in business.
But all of that takes time as well, right? Like that electricity bill that they suddenly get, that's, you know, $14,000.
Right, yes. Yeah, it's due today.
And they can raise
you off.
They can raise the price of a coffee to $35 a cup, and you know nobody will pay that. But even if they do, it's going to take them a lot of time before they can make that $14,000.
Right. And think about this: like if you're making coffee for a living, that's one thing. As far as your heating costs are concerned, you got to keep the coffee hot. But imagine running a pizza place where there's a hot oven constantly. The entire day that you're open, and the amount of the power bill that you're currently paying now, and then, you know, 10 times that amount, or 5 or 6 or whatever, 10 times that amount. I mean, those...
Got to switch to a brick oven, right?
You can't charge enough to, you know, make up the discrepancy there. Well, they're saying it's high inflation and the cost of living.
That's not at all what it is. It's the sanctions against Ukraine and the pricing, the government meddling as a result of COVID-19. Just like it was when we predicted that exactly this was going to happen last year, we said, oh, look, all of these increase in prices that are a direct result of these sanctions against Ukraine and Russia,
against Russia closing off
the pipe. That's what I meant. Against Russia closing off the pipelines because, like, well, screw you. Well, screw you guys back. We predicted exactly this was going to happen.
We sure did. And now here it is. 4,593 licensed premises have been closed over the last year through March, according to the latest Hospitality Market Monitor.
It's not funny, but it's interesting how this directly affects the regular person in Great Britain, and it doesn't affect the government people in Russia.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is the opposite of the thing that they wanted to accomplish by
the
doing
sanctions.
The sanctions on Russia.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to get people to put pressure on the government. No, it didn't do that. It just hurt the regular person trying to run a business in the United Kingdom.
Yep, exactly right. And by the way, it turns out it's 4.3% is the decrease in hospitality venues. So 4 out of every 100 businesses has hospitality businesses closed within the last year.
I'm surprised it's not worse, honestly.
Restaurants suffered a particularly damaging year with the number of licensed restaurants shrinking. Oh, sorry, wait a minute. The number of hospitality... Oh, okay, restaurants specifically, right? So restaurants are a subset. So restaurants had 7.8% close over the last year. So almost twice as many restaurants as compared to hotels and...
But as you mentioned, restaurants regularly go out of business. So what percentage of that is outside of the norm? I would have expected it to be worse that, you know... I was going to cough and I didn't, and then I hit the button. But I would have expected that, like, hotels and motels and other places where one stays at would have taken a bigger hit than restaurants.
Nope. Apparently,
maybe because, like, my theory would be that restaurants are kind of, like, less needed. Like, you can always cook your food at home. Mm-hmm. But if you're going on a business trip, you just got to stay in a hotel.
Somewhere. Yeah, that's true. There is always going to be some demand as long as there's business going on. The data comes a week after Italian dining chain Prezzo revealed plans to shut 46 restaurants as a result of soaring energy and food costs, putting 810 jobs at risk. Meanwhile, there was a 2.5% decline in high street pubs over the last year. Carl Chessel, the CGA for Hospitality Operators and Food, said each of the 4,593 closures in the last 12 months represents a sad loss of jobs and a permanent withdrawal of a community asset. The overall figure showed that 756 venues shut in the first 3 months of 2023, although this represented a slowdown in the recent rate of closures. It was the equivalent to 8.4 closures per day. He said it's at least encouraging that the losses have slowed in the first few months of the year, a welcome indicator that demand for hospitality remains strong. Well, yes, as long as people are having tough times, there's always going to be someone who wants to go out and drink.
Yep.
And, you know, even though they could spend less by staying in and drinking, they still will want to go out and drink as long as they can afford to do so.
And they shouldn't drink at all, man. Alcohol does not solve problems.
Nope.
It only worsens them. It may allow you to forget about them briefly, but they'll be back. And it's not going to do any good.
I don't understand the mindset that alcohol solves problems, because all it does is bring me more problems. Like, I hate the feeling waking up and being like, oh, that was so embarrassing what I said. But
does anyone actually think that alcohol solves problems? I think most people, if they're being honest with themselves, they know why they're drinking, and that's
to hide from problems.
To get away from the problems temporarily. They don't think it's going to solve it, right?
But I just can't even imagine the mindset that, like, oh, it'll help me feel better, because it always makes me feel worse. Like, I start to think, like, oh, man, this is so embarrassing in my life. Here's another part of my life that's so embarrassing, just, like, for no reason.
Graham Smith, who is a managing director of Alex Partners, said, tellingly, this latest study underlines the growing divide between larger and smaller operators, reflecting the varied ability to withstand the continued headwinds the sector faces. So I guess he's suggesting that larger corporate operators are more likely to be able to absorb the costs.
That makes sense.
Stay open. The closure rate of independent businesses, which are the lifeblood of the entrepreneurial driving force of the sector, continues to vastly outstrip the better-funded corporates and the branded operators. He said further, it highlights the need for government support to be extended, especially on energy costs, if small, often family-owned businesses are to survive. And apparently this is one of the reasons why it hasn't been working out, or I saw something somewhere else, and I don't see it in this particular story, but somebody was reporting that these government subsidies towards the energy costs are going to run out. If not, they have already run out. They're on the cusp of that now.
How can the government even afford it, right?
With printing the money.
Yeah. But with 10x increases, this is going to hurt. It's not doing anything about the increase in electricity prices. It's just diffusing that loss over the entire country.
Correct. They're socializing it.
Yeah, and that's making everything so much worse. There's nothing good here. The only good thing that could have come about is the only good thing to do here is to end the sanctions and to let the market sort this out. That's the only way to fix this. Let the market sort it out. It's going to suck, but that's all you can do. It's a problem that has to fix itself.
Yeah, that would be the correct way to do it, to rip the Band-Aid off. It's going to hurt. There's going to be pain, economic pain in this particular case, job losses, businesses closing. But that's already what's happening, and they're not ripping the Band-Aid off.
Well, because what's the actual pain that they're avoiding? They're avoiding the face-saving that they don't want to have to, that they're trying to do. They don't want to admit that they did something wrong.
Right. And this was our fault. This is the sanctions.
And that, just completely change their stance on Russia.
Right.
It was the sanctions after the COVID-19 lockdowns already had put the economy into a precarious position.
Correct.
So it's like one folly compounded on top of the other.
Yep. On Friday, trade bodies representing pubs and hospitality businesses called for urgent government intervention over energy costs and contracts. The British Beer and Pub Association, the UK Hospitality and British Institute of Innkeeping, wrote to Amanda Soloway, the Minister for Energy, Consumers and Affordability, to call for further support to prevent, quote, thousands of job losses. Unquote. A government spokesperson said, we have faced a period of exceptional economic challenges caused by the pandemic. No, it wasn't. It was caused by the government's response to the so-called pandemic and Putin's illegal invasion of Ukraine. And again, had Putin simply invaded Ukraine and did whatever Putin was going to do, and Ukraine's people did whatever they were going to do, then it wouldn't have had an effect on the power consumption or the power pricing in Great Britain.
It's almost amazing how bad they are at pointing their finger at the actual problem. Again, they're blaming COVID and Putin. It wasn't COVID. It was your government as a response to COVID-19. And it wasn't Putin. It was your government as a response to Putin. These two issues, they have one common denomination, and that is the government.
Well, it's probably because the mass media's job is not to report what the truth is. The mass media's job is to give people a narrative to believe, and it usually covers the government's ass.
Yep, they want a scapegoat. And we know who the actual culprit is. It's the state. It's the European Union. It's Great Britain. It's, you know, you fill in whichever state we're talking about in any given instance. But they want to scapegoat some other actor. And we've seen this happening here in the United States, where they claimed it was Putin's price hike is why the gas price went up. You remember that one?
I do. Yeah,
same line. The same excuse.
Yeah. And it's people bought
BS. It's total BS. Last quote here from one of these people. Through this period, the government has acted swiftly, this is the government spokesperson, to provide businesses with an unprecedented package of support, which as of April has saved them 5.9 billion British pounds on energy costs, amounting to over 30 million British pounds per day, and enabling some to only pay around half of predicted wholesale energy costs, saying further that global energy prices have fallen significantly and are now at their lowest level since before Russia's illegal invasion of Ukraine. This new level of government support reflects this welcome fall in prices, but we will continue to stand by businesses as we have done over the winter. Well, it didn't help these 4,600 restaurants and bars and inns and these other hospitality businesses. Despite the government handouts, they still went out of business. And as they point out here, all these numbers they're throwing around, this is the amount of money, 5.9 billion British pounds, since April of last year. So 1 year, 5.9 billion pounds in 1 year, that's what the people of Great Britain are forced to pay for. Even if they've never set foot in one of these restaurants, never set foot in one of these bars, they are being forced through the magic of inflation, of inflating the money supply, to support people's businesses that they might not otherwise want to support. And that's the reality of it. So
I've been distracted by the concept of the illegal invasion, because I've been sitting here trying to figure out, you know, what would they consider to be
illegal invasion?
Well, and I think the United States going to Iraq.
Oh, yeah, anything they do is legal, right?
I think the whole idea of the legal and the illegal invasion, it sort of lays bare the idea that whoever is the most powerful is the one who is right, that might is right.
Yep.
I can't think of any other way to reconcile even the existence of the phrase illegal invasion. They would all be illegal unless you have the biggest gun.
I thought the same thing whenever he read that part. I just thought, wouldn't the word just be invasion, and then if it wasn't illegal, it'd be like the people going over who were invited?
Yeah, exactly. It just depends on who's writing the news article, because obviously it's completely legal from Russia's perspective.
It's legal because they did it. That's how the state that's how the state works.
Yeah.
There nothing a government can do is illegal by definition.
So in related news, this is a story I wanted to get to this weekend, but we just didn't have time. It's also coming from England, where the chief economist of the Bank of England, apparently, H-U-W is his first name, Hugh Pill, says that workers and firms should stop trying to pass on rising costs by hiking prices or demanding better wages. So he's literally going to blame you. This is the government money system, the government central bank, the government money printer. He's about to blame the people of Great Britain for inflation.
Run that by me again. What did he say initially?
Let me get to the actual story here. So he says that British households and businesses, that means people, need to accept that they are poorer and stop seeking pay increases and pushing prices higher, according to the Bank of England chief economist.
He says that the reason that the prices are higher is because they're being pushed higher because people are asking for pay increases?
Yes, he's actually blaming the workers at this point for inflation.
This dude needs to be tarred and feathered, which, again, doesn't have to hurt.
There's more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever you want.
I'd say honey and feathered, because tar is kind of permanent, right?
I don't know. That's
it doesn't have to be hot. I remember that.
We got more coming up. You can join the show here on Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA USA News update. We're learning more about what happened in Cleveland, Texas Friday in the minutes before a man walked to his neighbor's house and killed five people. Police say an appeal to that man to stop firing his gun escalated, and neighbors called police five times in about 20 minutes before the man started shooting his neighbors. President Biden says when it comes to finding a way to increase the federal debt ceiling,
the default on the national debt is off the table. For over 200 years, America's never, ever, ever failed to pay its debt.
Biden says the debt ceiling should not be held hostage by MAGA Republicans in Congress. Today in Israel, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said he's waiting for a phone call from the president so they can talk about it. If you have good credit, you'll be paying more for a federally backed home loan. Mortgage fees are rising to underwrite lower fees for people with lower credit scores. Critics say that plan rewards bad behavior. Rich Johnson, USA News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight in the studio is Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
We're talking about the bad economic news coming out of Great Britain, which isn't really any different than the bad economic news here in the United States. It's just the reaction to this. The fact that, hey, turns out the people in Great Britain are dealing with inflation, just like here in the United States, which means they're dealing with higher prices for the food and the energy and the things that they're buying. Of course, as you pointed out, Aria, it's actually worse there because their energy costs have gone up dramatically due to the fact that the European nations and Great Britain have put sanctions on Russia, which have basically cut them off with the Russian natural gas supplies and Russian oil, and so therefore they're paying more unnecessarily for energy. And so all of this combines into a very difficult situation economically for the people there, worse than what we're dealing with here in the United States. But we've seen the blame game here in the U.S. We've seen Joe Biden and the spokespeople in the government thugs in the administration saying that, oh, well, it's Putin's price hike and it's the corporation's fault. And
but this is what they do, right? They're never going to come out and say, oh, yeah, hey, guys, you remember that thing we did that, you know, all the libertarians said was a terrible idea, but we did it anyway?
Yeah.
Well, the consequences that the libertarians said would happen are actually happening because of the reasons that the libertarians said would be the reasons. And we're sorry, we screwed up, and we're going to do it again next year. So just stand by.
And they can't blame the truth. They can't talk about what the truth is, that it's the government money printing, the central bank, fiat money system, the sanctions. No, instead they have to find scapegoats. And now they're turning their sights on the people themselves. That's the news here from TheGuardian.com.
And that's like 100% what an abuser would do.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Hugh Pill.
It's your fault
name.
That I hit you. You just made me so mad.
Yeah. I only do it because I love you.
Oh, my God.
The Bank of England's chief economist.
Too real.
Hugh Pill.
just so bad.
Hugh Pill is his name.
Hugh Pill?
Hugh Pill.
H-U-W-P-I-L-L. He spoke on a podcast produced by Columbia Law School, and Pill said it's natural for a household to seek higher wages in response to soaring energy bills.
Well, yeah, we need to pay our bills.
Or for a restaurant to increase its prices. However, he said the UK is a big importer of natural gas, and its price has gone up a lot compared with the exports, mainly services.
That's because Russia turned off the spigot, you idiots, as a response to stuff that you did. And they told you that then.
He says if the cost of what you're buying has gone up compared to what you're selling, you're going to be worse off, he said. So somehow in the UK, he says, someone needs to accept that they're worse off and stop trying to maintain their real spending power by bidding up prices, whether higher wages or passing the energy costs on to consumers. So he's blaming two groups of people. One, the average person who's like, oh, crap, I can't buy as much as, you know, my salary isn't buying that. My hourly wage isn't buying what it used to. I got to go and ask the boss for a raise. He's blaming those people, and he's also blaming the restaurant managers for raising prices when their power bill is going through the roof.
Yeah, this is a tone-deaf response.
And it's also why it's really, really bad for people to just take for granted that idea that prices just are raised by the greediness of the business owner. It's really bad. I mean, it's like making someone look like they are the perpetrator when they're really a victim.
They're a victim, absolutely. And this is definitely blaming the victim in this particular case. That's exactly what's happening here. And how tone deaf do you have to be? How can you be an economist? I mean, I'm not an economist, but no. I understand that if costs are higher than your revenue, you are going to go out of business.
Yeah.
If your electric bill, right? Like, you've got the staff you have to pay. You've got the electricity bill. You've got the gas bill. You've got the, you know, whatever other bills that you've got to pay to keep your restaurant or your bar or whatever in business, or any business for that matter. If your money coming in from your customers is lower than the total amount that you're spending to run the business, you're going to close your doors eventually. Might not be the first month. Maybe you'll try to make it through. You'll pull out your money out of savings, and you'll try to keep you'll hope that the energy costs will go down and you can just get through this hump and you'll be all right. But no, the energy costs keep staying steady or maybe even going up, and they're already up over 5x what you were paying just 2 years ago. You're going to go out of business. How this guy can have just a hubris to blame business owners for raising their prices and to blame employees for asking for more money. He's saying they're the ones who are at fault for this.
Yeah, even though it's very clearly the Bank of England's fault, it's very clearly the fault of government, very clearly the fault of sanctions against Russia,
yep,
and the government response to COVID-19.
And the reason that they gave the people for why they were doing this, like shutting off the pipeline, well, you know, like allowing that to happen, isn't even doing what it was supposed to do. It was supposed to, like, hurt Russia because they weren't buying gas from them. It absolutely didn't at all. They sold the same gas to Europe through China.
That's right.
For the same price or higher.
And
well,
India,
no, it got ended up higher once it got to the Europeans, because the Russians sold it for the same price to the Chinese,
right,
who sold it for a higher price
they
to the Europeans.
They could have paid the cheap price by buying it straight from Russia, but instead they had to sanction Russia, so Russia then sells the oil or the natural gas to India and China, who then turns around and sells it, resells it.
Didn't hurt Russia at all.
And marking it up.
Also supported China.
Yeah.
Remarkably stupid.
It's so stupid.
But people buy it.
And they're still suffering for it, too.
And we knew this was happening, like, a month after the sanctions. It's not like this just came out. We couldn't have seen that this was happening. They haven't stopped it for over a year, and we have known it's been happening.
But here's what else he had to say to the people of Great Britain. He said this: "And what we're facing now is that reluctance to accept that, yes, we're all worse off, and we all have to take our share."
How much money does he make a year?
That was my question, yeah. Is he cutting back on his foie gras or whatever?
Probably,
you know,
a little bit.
Fancy crap he eats.
I mean, the singer from Metallica couldn't get his gold-plated bar in his pool or whatever.
Oh, is that right?
Something.
Tough times.
It's a South Park joke, right? Like, oh, poor Lars Ulrich, he can't afford the gold-plated bar anymore.
Right.
He has to get the brass one or whatever.
He said, instead, people try and pass that cost on to one of our compatriots, saying, we'll be all right, but they will have to take our share, too.
How? He can't possibly be this ignorant of economics. Like, that's literally the way economies work, where if my costs increase and I'm running a business, I have to increase your prices in order to recuperate. That's literally
how
the economy works.
I don't believe that he's ignorant.
I
believe that these people, these spokespeople for what's going on, are absolutely just gaslighting the people and making crap up.
Yep. And then he goes on to say, that pass the parcel game that's going on here, the game is generating inflation.
That game is called economics.
And that part of inflation can persist. So he's blaming the people for inflation. And the reality is, that is a lie. It is one of the biggest lies told by governments, that inflation is something other than the increase in the money supply.
Yep.
And that's all that it has ever been. The money that they're paying to subsidize these businesses for their power bills that they've been doing, we mentioned $4.8 billion or whatever it was, that is inflation. The trillions of dollars that the United States government printed out to hand you checks in the early part and the later parts of COVID, which, of course, you got a check, but the corporations got big checks.
Much bigger checks.
Yeah, way bigger. That is inflation. That is to say, printing new money into existence that had never existed before.
And you paid for all of it, including your own checks, so you really got nothing.
Last year, the BOE governor...
Unless you invested in Bitcoin.
And I wasn't able to.
And I haven't looked at, you know, BitcoinStimulus.com, or it's a Twitter handle, in quite a while. But as I remember it, the last time I looked, like 4 or 5 months ago, it was up to like $7,000. If you had taken that $1,200, it's in mid-May or whenever it was that you got your $1,200 stimulus,
right,
and used it to buy Bitcoin, that would currently be worth, at the time, the last time I looked at it, like $6,000 or something.
It's right now $5,053. If you had purchased Bitcoin with the $1,200 stimulus check, it would have gone up 321%.
And this isn't financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor, but I said this more than 2 years ago or 3 years ago, however the hell long it's been. And look, we were right. Investing in government money is always a bad investment. Investing in something that's designed to protect you against that inflation is usually, often, this is not good, this is not investment advice, a good idea.
Phil's comments risk attracting fresh criticism that Threadneedle Street, which I presume is where they're central bank is located, is out of touch over the cost of living crisis at a time when public sector workers have been striking as they sought pay raises to match or beat inflation. So even the government workers are striking in Great Britain over their pay issues.
Some of this just like English language stuff makes me laugh, like pass the parcel and Threadneedle Street.
They come on a day in which Nestle, PepsiCo, and McDonald's have all reported that higher prices boosted their sales this year. And as UK families face 7.3% grocery inflation in supermarkets. Yeah, okay.
It's not really boosting your sales, though.
No, it's not. What it is it's... And what they're not reporting is their higher costs, right?
Yeah.
So McDonald's and all these companies, they have to pay more. And so they have to raise their
rates. Oh, look, you raised your prices by 12%, and now you made 12% more this year than you did last year, but you didn't actually make any more money. Everything stayed the same. At best, everything stayed the same. Likely everyone got a little bit poorer.
Whenever these people are making these fake excuses, they're just appealing to the lowest common denominator, like the people who will believe McDonald's just made their burger more expensive just to get richer. Are the lowest common denominator.
Yep.
Like, you understand the least about life of anyone around you.
Here's the answer to your question, Aria. They actually include Mr. Pill's salary.
It would be irresponsible journalism if they didn't.
In this article, it is 180,000 pounds is his annual salary as the head economist for the central bank.
Not nearly as high as I would have expected it to be. However, I would have expected this to be in the millions of dollars a year, but still... imagine people in the United Kingdom or Britain or wherever we're talking about, how much tar and feathers you can buy with 180,000 pounds.
According to the latest official data, the median average household disposable income in the UK in the last year, so this is the average household
disposable
income.
So this is what they have to play with after all their bills and stuff are paid.
That's not clear. They may be using different terms than what we're used to, but it's 32,300. I would think that that is a...
Yeah, that seems a bit high.
The headline rate of inflation in the UK...
Well, isn't there a pound worthless? So 30,000 wouldn't be 30,000 US dollars?
That's true. Yeah, I don't know what it's worth in dollars. It's a great question. The headline rate of inflation in the UK fell by less than expected in March.
Or do they use the euro? Whatever.
They do not.
They use the pound.
To 10.1% from 10.4%. So they are in the double digits officially. As far as their inflation numbers in the UK. Now, maybe,
is it the U.S. as well?
The U.S. is only if you use the old inflation calculations, which they don't officially use.
Hey, why would we want to use accurate math? We have new Common Core math now to hide the inflation.
Mm-hmm. Their bank is also doing the same thing that the Federal Reserve is doing, which is hiking interest rates, and they're expected to increase their interest rates once again next month by another quarter point. As well. During the podcast, Pill explained that inflation has been higher than we expected for longer, for an undesirably long time.
You control the inflation! Like, literally, the entire apparatus is constructed for you guys to control the inflation directly.
Yeah. But they have to act like inflation is this thing, this force that's just out there, and it's acting constantly, and it's always trying to get us, and the central bank has to step in.
Like global warming.
To stop inflation.
That's exactly it.
Even
global warming, inflation is economics, global warming.
The big boogeyman.
Yeah. It's always out there. We got to get government to protect us from it. We didn't cause it. We didn't create this. It's not our fault. But we got to stop it.
Well, the difference, of course, is global warming they really didn't create, which, you know, there's even an argument as to whether it even exists at all.
Sure.
Whereas within inflation, they absolutely did create. They are 100% at cause for inflation. And they just pretend like they're not.
The only way they have any amount of deniability is the fact that there is the fractional reserve banking system, which means that it isn't the Fed that is actually creating a lot of the money in the United States. It's individual banks. When they loan you, you know, money, $200,000 to buy your house or whatever, they just make that up on the books and you pay it back. And that's how that money, quote, comes into existence.
Yep.
And they're required to have 10% of all the money they loan out in reserves. But... that went away during COVID-19, and now there's no fractional reserve requirements, which means that banks can lend out an infinite amount of money and not have to have any money to actually back it up.
So
so the inflation became practically infinite or potentially infinite as of COVID-19. So, of course, it spiraled out of control, and they're like, uh-huh, it spiraled out. It did exactly what you would expect it to do when we unleashed it.
And they're all playing by the same playbook. Which is to say, printing up a ton of money and using COVID as the excuse. Now, they have the extra excuse of using energy prices as another excuse to print up a ton of money.
Which are just rates. Something that just increases, right? They're like, we don't know why it's gone up. You know, it's just like inflation. It just sort of happened. It's this external force, and now electricity prices are up. And
well, listen to this.
Guys, we're sorry.
Listen to how this mainstream piece here puts this. They say, just as the pandemic inflation shock was easing, Russia turned off gas supplies to Europe.
And why did they do that?
No, they were... prohibited from selling gas to Europe.
Were they?
Yeah, that was the sanctions, right? Like, you can't sell gas to us anymore. We're not going to buy your gas.
I thought
your
I remembered Russia
good enough.
Turning off the spigot in retaliation for other sanctions.
Well, they also said that at one point that they couldn't repair their pipeline because
okay.
the sanctions were prohibiting them getting the parts that they needed
okay.
from the places where they needed to get them because
that was both.
But people aren't allowed to do business with Russians. And so, therefore, Russia's just like, well, we would sell you the oil, but
darn it, we can't.
We can't repair this this broken pipe.
So we're going to sell it to Russia and China, I mean, to China and India instead, and they're going to sell it to you at increased prices.
And then, of course, the United States blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, according to Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Seymour Hersh last year. So any chance that there would have been to sell that energy to Europe was literally blown into smithereens.
Which is an act of war.
Absolutely.
Well, it's almost
was.
Like the United States is trying to bankrupt the European Union.
Strange, isn't it? You would think that their allies, it's a strange move to make, but that...
Well, not if the Nazis took over the United States, and the United States is holding a grudge against Europe about it.
So,
which I don't necessarily think happened, but, you know, a lot of the Nazis did come to the United States.
They're blaming Russia turning off gas supplies to Europe as though the sanctions had nothing to do with it, and they claim that that drove up wholesale energy prices by over 1,000%.
Well, it did, but it wasn't just in a vacuum that they stopped being able to buy oil from Russia.
Right, but the point is, 1,000% wholesale price increase. Now, I don't know what a wholesale price increase translates to a retail price increase, but it's a big factor, right? Like, if your wholesale price just goes up by 1,000%, goes up 10x, then you better believe that end user price is going to go up quite a bit as well. So that's why you were seeing people with 5 to 10x increases in their power bills. He said that had a massive contribution to inflation, said their
but
so-called
But it didn't.
Expert.
That was a result of inflation and a result of government sanctions against Russia.
He's saying that the 1,000% increase of warehouse prices...
Wholesale energy prices.
...caused inflation?
Yep.
He's saying it's a contribution, a, quote, massive contribution to inflation.
Like, people were just like, 1,000 times. I mean, I need 1,000 times more for this product. Like, that wouldn't even make sense. If the market didn't require
it... Well, 1,000% is not the same thing as 1,000 times.
Well, whatever. 1,000
times.
10 times.
Whatever. Either way, nobody would do that unless the market required it.
Exactly.
Because otherwise they wouldn't be able to get a buyer. People would just be like, oh, I'm going to the warehouse that'll sell me the same thing, not for 1,000% more.
And plenty of companies leave money on the table, but not 10% of the money, or 90% or whatever. Like, if they could charge you $1,000 a month for electricity and they're only charging $100, dude, they would have started charging you $1,000 long ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to leave that much money sitting on the table. This is not greed. It's not corporate greed or businesses trying to make a profit. It's businesses trying to make ends meet.
He said further food prices inflate. They're claiming gas prices have fallen recently from the Ukraine war highs, but now food price inflation is now accelerating. In the UK, food and...
Which we knew was going to happen as well because of the fertilizer that was not being able to be bought from Russia or whatever that we talked about again last year.
Well, another thing we talked about last year was I think the company is called BASF, if I recall correctly, and I believe that they are known for making fertilizer, if I recall correctly. They had a major factory in Germany, and they closed that factory down because of the energy costs. It costs a lot of effing money to do this factory manufacturing of these chemicals.
It's almost like an economy has a bunch of different industries that are like working together and functioning together and that have to work together to make a functioning society.
This
and that when you break one of those, the whole thing unravels.
Right. This is the largest chemical producer in the world. And they had to close their main manufacturing facility. Now, that's going to have an effect on the cost of fertilizer, because you're only going to be able to get it from so many other places, and so therefore, supply and demand costs
supply
are going
decreases.
Up. So if the cost of fertilizer is going up, the cost of food goes up. If the cost of energy is going up, the cost of food goes up, because all that food is being moved along on conveyor belts and being, you know, done packaged into packaging, and all that costs energy. Right, so that's why these costs go up. If your energy costs go up 10x, yeah, the cost of an egg isn't going to 10x, but it's going to go up, and it's going to go up significantly. So they go on here. The Unite Union last month reported that large corporations have fueled inflation with price increases that go beyond rising costs of raw materials and wages. This trend of greedflation.
Oh, my God.
Do they have any kind of
inevitable
proof or evidence that these go beyond the cost, the rising costs of making their product?
I don't
like
think
what
so.
They just said. They're just saying it.
No, I don't think so, because you still have competition playing into things, right? Like, these companies still have to compete with everybody else, and they're not cartelizing to say, all right, well, let's raise our prices 10x just so we can screw over the very people who are working for us. Like, it just doesn't fly.
And any information that they could have to support that argument that, you know, businesses or corporations are making more profits now, I would love to see those numbers only if they exclude the pharmaceutical industry, because the pharmaceutical industry has been making record profits for the last 3 years because of the COVID-19 vaccine.
Sure.
And that's going to skew the entire market.
And they're getting guaranteed contracts.
Yeah. And every corporation's profits are up if you include the pharmaceutical companies in that category.
And the ability to just, oh, I'm just going to enter the pharmaceutical industry and start making my own Tylenol is extremely, like, there's a lot of barriers to enter that. There's not a lot of, as many barriers to enter, like, selling eggs, that market.
I can imagine what would be necessary for me to start selling Tylenol.
Yeah, like if you
or
just,
obviously acetaminophen.
Yeah, you wanted to make your own acetaminophen called Aria Afol or whatever.
Yeah.
It would take years, for one thing.
I would never get approved. The regulatory hurdles that one would have to jump through for me to produce something as simple and as common as acetaminophen, crazy.
Mm-hmm. The final comment here is from Charles-Henri Monceau, the chief investment officer at Bank CIS, the boutique Swiss private bank. He says, many companies have taken advantage of the return to of inflation. So it sounds like a movie or something, right? The return of inflation. To inflate their prices excessively at the risk of stimulating an inflationary spiral. The idea is simple, he says. When world prices rose because of supply and demand, companies raised their prices. But they didn't just raise them to cover higher costs. They have fueled inflation with price increases that go beyond the rise in raw material costs and wages, pushing their revenues to record levels.
That's just fundamentally false. Increasing prices, McDonald's increasing their prices does not cause inflation. It literally does not. It just causes fewer people to buy McDonald's, and it causes them to lose money.
In fact, if they just unnecessarily raised their prices just as a greedy thing they were doing, then Wendy's and everyone else would be like, come here, it's way cheaper, and they would make a lot more money than McDonald's, most likely. People would be like, oh, you can't get a double cheeseburger for $2 anymore, but you can get it at Wendy's. I'm going to start going there.
Also, what he says is dishonest. He says it pushes their revenues to record levels. Yes, revenues are up, but that is not the same thing as profits.
It is not. And interesting that he made that switch without calling attention to it.
Exactly. All right. Out of time tonight. We'll be joining you tomorrow. You can join us online in the meantime. Anytime you want, just drop on in over at freetalklive.com. And don't forget, we do have our social media platform at social.freetalklive.com. See you tomorrow.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.